Stephanie Rose Spalding, candidate for the 5th Congressional District in Colorado Springs, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
First of all, I'd like to just ask why you decided to run for Congress.
Well, I decided after the 2016 election cycle that left so many people in a state of despair and hopelessness, particularly my students, community members, congregation, and for me, as a person that sits in so many different places, it was asking myself, how do we provide hope and the kind of inspiration that is needed to help people move forward? And then I also attended the Women's March in Washington, D.C., and that was like the clicking moment for me that something had to be done in regard to systemic change. So I came back and began exploring a run.
So in large part, it was kind of in response to the election of Donald Trump?
Absolutely. And not just the election, but the cycle and the level of vitriol that we had devolved to.
And, you know, the 5th Congressional District has long been a safe Republican seat. It's been held by Republicans ever since the district was created in the 70s. What makes you think this race will be different?
Well, living here for the last 8 years, I have seen how this area has changed and continues to change. It is an influx of millennials, progressives, an influx of people who are returning and retiring here. And when I think about that, I recognize that though we may have been that in the past, I do not believe that's who we are in the future. And that's not to say that those ideas aren't valuable, but there's just growth happening all around us. And as I travel and have the kinds of conversations that I am having with constituents, they too see that something different is on our horizon.
And when you're traveling and talking to folks around the district, what are you hearing from people, especially around the types of issues that they want to see addressed in Congress?
So there are a complexity of ideas that don't necessarily separate themselves from one another. And a lot of it has to do with the quality of life that people are either experiencing or seeing how it's changing. So in one area, when I think about housing, right, that comes up a lot, whether you are here in Colorado Springs or in Salida, Buena Vista, because there's a shortage and there's a shortage of affordable housing. There's also the larger umbrella of healthcare that people tend to have conversations around the cost and insurance. But again, when I'm in Chaffee County or Park County, where there are no doctors or medical facilities in Park County, there are no pharmacies in Park County, there's a different conversation around access. The environment is another major point that people are looking at, our watersheds and protecting our national public lands, protecting the kinds of water that we have access to. All of those things, wildfires that have turned into fire years. So there's a lot that's on the minds and hearts of people throughout this district.
And to sort of drill down into a few of those issues, so you mentioned affordable housing. What do you think, as a representative in Congress, you could do to help folks who are dealing with rising rents and lack of affordable housing?
So at the federal level, making sure that the housing authority is not being undermined by the current director and that people have programs that are able to help them in markets that are rising. For example, Colorado Springs specifically has been marked by Forbes just this last week as one of the fastest growing cost of living communities, right? So it used to cost $50,000 to live here, and that was just maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. Now the average cost of living is $67,000. So making sure that programs that help people are available, that they are matching the inflation rates when builders are building, that they're comparable, if you are getting vouchers and assistance, that they're comparable with the rent that is here. And that's not an issue of a handout. I think about my students who are military, right? And they have military programs where they have a voucher or something for their housing, and it's about $14,000 or so. If the average rent in Colorado Springs is $18,000, where does that leave them, right? So making sure those programs are taken care of, making sure that we're working with federal grant programs that allow people to buy homes and get the loans that they need at an affordable rate. And on top of that, working with developers in cities and municipalities and different forms of local government, state government, that is thinking innovatively about how land is utilized and making sure that there's a connection to the communities in which will have to live on that land once it's developed.
And you also mentioned healthcare. Obviously, that's been a big contentious fight for a long time in the federal government. What do you support as far as healthcare programs? Do you support Medicare for All, these calls for universal coverage?
I do. I do support Medicare for All. And I understand that if we are going to be competitive in the 21st century and 22nd century, that we have to make sure that people are healthy, whole, and well, right? And for me, it's not just about the cost of healthcare. It's addressing the shortage in nurses that we are experiencing, the shortage in medical providers that we are experiencing, the cost of prescription drugs, how we get access to those prescription drugs. All of those things have very concrete impacts on people of CD5. Again, like I said, there are more veterinarians in Park County than there are doctors. So what does that say if you have insurance, but you have to drive 3 hours to go and see a physician, or you have to wait 3 months?
So the military, we have 5 military installations in this district. Congressman Lamborn has kind of made that a priority. He's on the House Armed Services Committee. What would be your stance and what would be your priorities as they relate to the military in this area?
Has he made it a priority? That has been the story we have heard and what people tell us. But when we think about his legislative record, he's not showing up to committee meetings. So again, is that a priority? And then what has been prioritized a lot of times has been at the efforts of other people's work that he just gets windfall and the benefit from. But when I think about our military community, we are very much in debt to how much they provide to us here in the 5th Congressional District. But I don't think that we actually take care of our military. The conversations that I've had from active duty, from dependents, from veterans, is that as people, they don't get the services, the constituent services that they need. Again, we can celebrate, and it's a great thing that we will have more soldiers here. We got about 3,000 new soldiers coming. But 75% of active duty military do not live on base. So if we're experienced as a city, a housing crisis, where will they live? And making sure that we have the adequate services for them. There are issues around childcare on base. There are issues around unemployment for dependents and spouses. Spouses have one of the highest unemployment rates in our community. There's also issues around how healthcare is accessed, particularly for our veterans. And we know that the VA has much work that needs to be done and support that has to happen in order for the VA to be a system that really protects our veterans. And then when we expand healthcare to think about mental health and all of these things, there's work that really has to be done to really invest in those who are sacrificing their lives for us.
Obviously, the national political climate is extremely polarized. There's been talk about if the Democrats take over the House and the Senate, impeachment might be on the table. Taking all that in mind, what would you view as your role and your mission in relation to that polarization and the kind of political climate that we find ourselves in at the moment?
So I think we're going to find ourselves in a very different place, even if, quote unquote, Democrats take over in November. There's a breath of new voices that are coming, even in the Democratic Party, that I believe have been listening to the kind of dissonance we are experiencing as a nation. Myself, particularly, my concern is how do we do that healing work? How do we bring more people to the table and have the conversations that are really, truly impacting us as a nation? By trade, I'm a professor, so I'm always going to be leading and educating ourselves. I'm always going to be leading as well in terms of where we are in our spirit. I'm a pastor by calling, right? And then I'm also a specialist of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And my work centers on how do you have difficult conversations where everyone does not necessarily agree, but we recognize the value of our voices. I think that is part of what happened in 2016, that entire election cycle. There were a number of people in the bread belt of America who were crying out and felt that people in both parties did not hear them. And to not pay attention to those pain points will leave us in a more desperate place. So for me, it is how do we bring people to the table? How do we listen without intent to respond, to hear each other, and then build consensus around what we absolutely need?
So that sounds like you're more focused on trying to heal the wounds and the divides than necessarily trying to score more political points for the Democrats.
I've run a campaign on people over politics, and the 5th Congressional District does not need another person in office who's only concerned about the wins that we get in terms of party politics. That is not, we've lived with that for decades, and it's not what we need going forward. I don't believe that's what the country needs right now. People want to make sure that the money that they are earning can be stretched as far as possible, that their children can have a better life than what they ever imagined, that they are able to have good quality education, and that they are healthy and well. I don't know that the United States as a nation needs more people who are just taking tally of scores on a board.
What would be the most noticeable or visible change about how this district is represented if you were to be elected to Congress?
Well, I would be elected. That would be the most notable change. I would be the representative for the 5th Congressional District, and they would have someone, again, that has traversed many different paths in life and found a way to really connect with people and resonate with the concerns of this district. To be, quote unquote, the face of the 5th Congressional District, we would have the entire nation looking at what is going on here in southern central Colorado.
You know, you mentioned this idea of people over politics. How would you go about representing folks who maybe didn't vote for you, independents or conservatives in this district, of which there are many?
So I would start by actually showing up and continuing to listen to people. We have a person in office who refuses to have conversations with people and has been on record telling people they do not matter to him because they did not vote for him. I've already taken a pledge to host at minimum 4 town halls in the first year of my incumbency. But for me, it's more than that. It's continuing to drive the district, is continuing to come home and to be present with people, having those conversations, again, as difficult as they may feel in the beginning, but nurturing the relationships that have to take place. And like I said, we've already begun that work. We have Republicans, unaffiliated voters, young voters, Democratic voters walking into our campaign headquarters all the time. And there's no place that I will not go, right? I'm not afraid of being in conservative space or evangelical space. I actually went to one of the fundraisers for the Republican Party throughout this campaign cycle. So again, I am not afraid. I am drawn to people.
And what final parting words would you have for folks who are listening to this? You know, kind of a last pitch for why they should vote for you.
Well, again, I remind voters that this seat does not belong to any one person. It belongs to the constituents of the 5th Congressional District. And every 2 years, you have the opportunity through your vote to employ someone. And I would ask that you look at the record and see if you had to do an employee annual evaluation, what would that evaluation look like? And if you know that you could not show up on your job 67% of the time and continue to get full pay, benefits, and all of that, then it's time to hire somebody new.
Stephanie Rose Spaulding, thanks so much for taking time to talk to me.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.